Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, as Ronnie said, next two Lord's Day evenings, we're going to be talking about Israel. As you know, myself and a number from the church were in Israel in September. We're going to be going through some of the pictures. We're going to spend next Sunday evening in Galilee. And a number of those who were on the trip are going to share something of some of the places and what they meant to them. And I'm going to speak on Israel, the permanency of Israel, how that indeed the very nation of Israel is a miracle tonight. Shouldn't be there. They've tried to wipe it out over and over again, but it's still there because the hand of God is upon it. Following week, we're going to Jerusalem and we're going to visit some of the sites in Jerusalem again. There'll be some taking part, sharing some of the how it impacted them, what they enjoyed about it, some of the sites around Jerusalem. And I'm going to look at the root cause of anti-Semitism. Why does the world hate the Jew? Are they the most obnoxious people on the planet? Of course they're not. And we're going to dig into the scripture and see why the world hates the Jew, the root cause of anti-Semitism. So remember those two meetings next week and the week after, and we hope to have some visitors with us, some of those who were on the trips in Israel as well. Genesis chapter 3, and we're reading from verse number 1, please. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam said to his wife, Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And we trust God will bless the public reading of his own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word to our hearts this evening. Apparently, when they used to hunt for raccoons and other sorts of pests with dogs, and I'm thinking particularly in the United States, sometimes the dogs would go astray. And if a dog would go astray and he would go to a tree and he's barking in the tree, and he thinks that that little raccoon has gone up the tree and he's barking at the foot of the tree, hoping that this creature will manifest itself and it'll be able to be dealt with. Oft times they would go off scent. And the saying was established, they were barking up the wrong tree. They were barking up the wrong tree. It now has become a saying, and really it's to do with someone pursuing an incorrect assumption. They're barking up the wrong tree. I wonder tonight, when it comes to the matter of salvation, are you barking up the wrong tree? Are you barking up the wrong tree tonight? Do you expect that somehow you're going to get into God's heaven, but what you're depending on is not what we find in the Word of God? Trees are mentioned in Scripture on quite a number of occasions. There's a tree in the first page of Genesis. There's a tree in the first Psalm. On the first page of the New Testament, we have a family tree. On the last page of the New Testament, you'll read about the tree of life. Noah received an olive branch from an olive tree. Abraham sat under the oaks of Mamre. Moses stood barefoot in front of the burning bush. And of course, when you come to the New Testament, you have little Zacchaeus up a sycamore tree. You have the man who was blind and he saw men as trees. And you can read a lot about trees in the Word of God. I want to think about three trees quickly this evening. The first one we find here in Genesis chapter 3. Look at verse number 6. This is where mankind fell. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. God created man, put him in a perfect environment. He gave him a perfect wife. They had a perfect surroundings. They had a perfect life. They had a perfect relationship with God. It was an unbroken, unhindered fellowship with God himself. The only requirement placed upon them, there was one tree that God asked them not to take the fruit thereof. Genesis 2 verse 8, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant in the sight and good for food, and the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's the tree they weren't to touch. But of course we have read tonight in Genesis chapter 3 how that Eve succumbed to the temptation of the devil. How she took of that tree, how she ate of that fruit, how she gave it to Adam, and Adam also took, and because of that, sin entered into the world, just as God said it would. Wherefore, Paul tells us in the New Testament, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. This tree tonight reminds me of sin. It's here that Eve sinned and Adam sinned. It's here that they became sinners. And because of that, that sin nature has been passed down to every generation. You and I tonight in this meeting, no matter where we were born, no matter how we were born in sin and were shaped in iniquity. That sin will keep you out of God's heaven. I was speaking at the harvest up at Ringsend last Lord's Day afternoon, and we were thinking about entering in. I mentioned a verse in 2 Chronicles 23. It's about a man called Jehoiada. He was a priest. He had brought the people of God back to God, and he made a certain decree that no unclean thing could enter in to the temple. And of course, there is no unclean thing will ever enter into heaven. Revelation 21, verse 27. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. There'll be no sin in heaven. Sin is a serious matter tonight. It's an affront to a holy and a righteous God. Sin angers God. The Lord is angry with sinners. God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. Psalm 7 verse 11. That sin will take you to a crisis hell. What is my point tonight? Are you barking up the wrong tree tonight? You have such a love for sin. That's why you're not saved tonight. It's not that you don't know the gospel. There are people outside these walls tonight. There are people in this town tonight, and people right throughout the province of Ulster, and they don't know the gospel. They've never heard the gospel. That's not you tonight. Your problem's not ignorance tonight. It's not that you don't know. It's not that you don't understand. You even know you're a sinner tonight. That's not the problem you have tonight. You so much love your sin tonight that you're not willing to repent of it and come and seek God's forgiveness. And you're standing in that tree tonight. You're barking up the wrong tree. This tree is promising you so much. It's promising you joy. It's promising you fulfillment. It's promising you contentment. But you know tonight that none of those things are real. You know tonight that the pleasure of sin, and there is pleasure in sin, oh, but it's only for a season. It doesn't last. And you can live a sinful life. And you can die a sinner. And this book tells me you're going to be in a Christless hell. Are you barking up that tree tonight? Is that why you're not saved? If you're still in Genesis 3, look at verse number 7. We come to another tree. This time it's not about the fall, but I have called it folly. Look at verse 7. And the eyes of them both were opened. This, of course, is Adam and Eve. And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. Of course, we didn't go into the first six verses how we see that the devil has power. He's more subtle than any other beast. He planted doubt into the minds of Eve. Hath God said?
And this is where it begins, isn't it? God has given us his word, and the old devil likes to come along and cause us to doubt the word of God. And Eve made a mistake. She talked to the devil. She talked to the devil. And the devil said, "Ye shall not surely die." He lied through his teeth, as I reminded you this morning. He's a liar and the father of lies. And here Adam and Eve start to bark up another tree. Because not only have we the fall of man at the tree in the garden, here's the folly of man. Look what they do in verse 7. "And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together." They must have been at a fig tree. And they sew the fig leaves together. This is the man's first attempt at a religious system. Man's first attempt to cover up his sin his way. They realized they'd been fooled. Their eyes were opened, and all that the devil had promised them, "Ye shall be as gods. You're going to be as gods, and God's trying to rob you. God doesn't want you to have fun. God doesn't want you to enjoy life." This is what the devil still says. And what do we find? That Adam and Eve were ashamed. All that sin brought them was shame. You know, verse 7 is as bad a path to take as verse number 6. They succumbed to the devil. They yielded to the temptation and they sinned. You know, verse 7 is every bit as bad because they tried to cover the sin. And they take these fig leaves and they try to make themselves these aprons and cover their sin. And they're hiding under a cloak of religion, if you like. Maybe that's the tree you're barking up tonight. Do you see where I'm coming from? All you have is a church. All you have is a birth certificate. And when it came to the census, we filled in a few years ago. They've been on the news recently. And you ticked the box and you ticked it with a heartily tick. And you said, "I'm a Protestant." And you ticked it and you put a good spot on it that they wouldn't mistake what you were. Is that all you have tonight? You're barking up the wrong tree. And some have church membership. Some have confirmation, some have baptism, and this is all they have, and they're depending on some man-made way to get themselves into heaven. Listen, you're barking up the wrong tree. Look at verse number 8. "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves." The fig leaves were that good. Why did they hide themselves? Listen, do you know in your heart tonight that what you have won't cut it with God? Do you know tonight, like Adam and Eve, what a blessing it must have been for God to come and speak to them in times past? Can you imagine unbroken fellowship? Sometimes when we gather around the Lord's table, I have to say, during COVID was difficult, but there are times we were open just for the Lord's table. And I have to say, it was some of the best meetings I've ever been in. Because we just sat around the Lord's table. And we felt as close to the Lord, I believe, as is possible to feel. There were special, special times. But you know, Adam and Eve were better than that. Not a sin. Not a blemish between them and God. And when God would come and God would speak to them, how it must have thrilled their hearts. But oh, not anymore. Sin has come in. They've attempted to cover the sin. This was what you could call a regular sound. Verse 8, "They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." They realized that self-effort was no good. "Therefore, by the deeds of the law," Paul said in Romans 3, verse 20, "shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." If salvation could be achieved by covering up sin, by going to church, by being confirmed, by being baptized, or whatever ritual you want to go through, Jesus Christ would never have had to go to the cross and die. But he went to Calvary. And he died in that center cross. Because there was no other way. And there was no other
good enough. When they heard the word of God, they hid themselves among the trees. You know, isn't it good? It was the cool of the day. God didn't come in anger to judge them. God came to speak to them. Did you notice what he said? He said, "Where art thou?" It's a question that brings conviction, doesn't it? God's asking you tonight, where are you tonight? It's a question that demands confession. You're going to have to talk to God tonight. Even if you say nothing, you're saying something to God tonight. That's as Irish as you'll get. Where art thou tonight? It's a question that brings conviction. It's a question that demands confession. It's a question that suggests judgment. Where are you? Are you hiding from God tonight? Are you barking up the wrong tree tonight? Where are you tonight? We've been at one tree tonight, some because of their love of their sin. And as I said at the harvest service last Sunday afternoon, you must really love that sin, because you're willing to go to hell for it. Are you barking up that tree? Or is it this second tree that you're barking up tonight? Some sort of religiousness, some good works, some charitable work, and these things on their own are fine and they're good, and we need people to go to church, and it's good to give money to good causes. All of these things are surely commendable, but if these things could take you to heaven, we wouldn't need to tell you about the precious blood tonight. Paul wouldn't need to sing tonight, "There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins." I want to take you to another tree tonight. We find it in Acts 5, verse 30. I think you'll know where I'm going tonight. So bring this meeting to a close. Acts 5, verse 30. "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree." We could have gone to Galatians 3:13, Acts 5:30. For those of you who are looking it up, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." We could have gone to 1 Peter 2, verse 24, "who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree." I want to take you to Calvary's tree tonight. That's the tree where you want to get to tonight. It's an unspecified tree. We don't know what type of tree it was. It's an unappreciated tree. Those who walk past, it says they reeled in him, wagging their heads, saying, "Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down." And they mocked the Lord Jesus Christ. And there were those who looked upon it, as Lamentations would tell us, "Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? And see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow." And as far as Calvary goes, as far as this tree goes, it was an unspecified tree. It was an unappreciated tree, but an unavoidable tree. You're going to have to get to Calvary. And at Calvary, you have to make a decision. Do you remember when they wrote on the board on Calvary? And do you remember they tried to get Pilate to change it? He says, "What is written is written." And in a roundabout way, the decision you make at Calvary is the decision you live with and the decision you die with. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 1, verse 20, after we read that we're redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, he said, "who was formerly ordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last days." Let me talk about the roots of Calvary. I can't explain it. But away back in eternity past, God the Father decreed that his Son would come into this world and die for sinners. This was no accident. This didn't happen by chance. God had planned it. That tells me that the very trees that God has grown, he knew one day that Christ would be nailed to that tree. The iron ore that was placed deep into the mountains.
God knew one day someone would draw that out, melt it down, make nails, and those very nails would nail Jesus Christ to that cross at Calvary.
Why did God plan it? Why did God the Son step out of heaven? I'll tell you why. Because he loves you. And the root of this tree tells me that he loves you tonight. And when we see Christ on this tree, and he cries, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We see a revelation at this tree. We see the sinfulness, the awfulness of your sin. It was so gross, it was so horrible, that God the Father turned his back on God the Son while he was made sin for us. And the Son of God says, listen, I'm going to take your sin. I want to give you my perfect righteousness. And if you come as a sinner by faith, that's the exchange that can take place at this tree tonight. We have the revelation of this tree, the roots of this tree, the reach of this tree. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. I remember preaching in Ephesians one night about love. You remember when Paul talks about it, the height of it and the depth of it and the breadth of it. And I said, Christ, when he was nailed to the cross, he says, I love you this much. And I'll tell you, it takes in you tonight. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the reach of Calvary's tree. Let me tell you the result of Calvary's tree. We've been going through the book of the Revelation in our Bible studies. And when you come to Revelation chapter 5, John is taken up into heaven. And John sees a mighty choir in heaven. And here's what it says in Revelation 5 verse 9. And they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hath redeemed us to God by thy blood. And you see the choir that's singing in heaven. All they can sing about is the blood. And how we need singers to sing about the blood. That's all we're going to sing about in heaven. And there's no one in heaven but by the precious blood of Christ. Are you barking up the wrong tree? And you need to get to Calvary's tree. And you need to come and realize you're a sinner and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. One day you'll be singing in glory how you've been redeemed to God by the blood of the Lamb. The roots of Calvary's tree, why it tells us how much he loves us. The revelation of Calvary's tree gives us the awfulness of sin. The reach of Calvary's tree, it takes in you. The result of Calvary's tree, the responsibility at the tree. Do you remember what Pilate said? What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Here's where the rubber meets the road. I want to take you to this tree tonight. And on this tree, Jesus Christ died. And he can be your Savior tonight. What are you going to do with Christ tonight? Joshua said this, choose you this day whom you will serve. It's like being at the crossroads, isn't it? Do you remember what Elijah said? How long halt ye between two opinions? Do you remember with Ruth? Was Ruth going to go back to Moab? Or was she going to go to Bethlehem? She was at the crossroads. Moses put it to them one time. He said, are you with me or against me? Are you for God or against God? Do you want the world or do you want the Lord? Moses himself, he realized he could have all the treasures of Egypt. And he turned his back on it, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God and to identify himself with Christ. Moses was at the crossroads. And you're at the crossroads tonight. We used to sing that little chorus in the Gospel Hall. I met Jesus at the crossroads, where the two ways met.
Meet Satan too was standing there, and he said, come this way, lots and lots of pleasures I will give to you today. But I said, no, there's Jesus here. See what he offers me. Down here, my sins forgiven. Up there, a home in heaven. Praise God, that's the way for me. Are you at the crossroads tonight? Because when you come to this tree, you have to decide what you're going to do with Christ. Are you barking up the wrong tree tonight? Is there some sin? And it's so precious you're willing to go to hell for it. Or will you repent of your sin and come to Christ tonight? Or are you at this fig tree tonight? Some folly. You're depending on something other than the precious blood. And you're barking up the wrong tree. Or will you come to Calvary tonight? I love that little chorus, I met Jesus at the crossroads. You know, last week on Wednesday night was the 12th of October. I was saved on the 12th of October, 1986. 36 years ago on Wednesday night. I'm glad that I was brought to the tree. I'm glad I turned my back on my sin. I'd been barking up the wrong tree. And I came to Calvary. And I was saved by his matchless grace. Will you come tonight? Will you come to Calvary's tree tonight? And put your faith and trust in that man of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow in a moment's prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for thy word this evening. And Lord, we thank you tonight for the place which is called Calvary. We thank you for the one who made his way to that old rugged cross. And there he bled and died for sinners just like us. Thank you, Lord, that he was laid in the tomb. But we praise God on the third day he rose again. And tonight we've got a living Savior. Lord, he's standing tonight and there's some dear man or woman or young person tonight and they're at the crossroads. And the old devil is trying to distract, to delay, to divert. And Jesus is standing with his arms wide open, still with the nail-pierced hands. And he's inviting sinners to come. Lord, we pray tonight will be a special night, will be a salvation night for someone in this place. For it's in our Savior's precious name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing.